Grace to you and peace in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If looks could kill. Can you picture the eyes filled with rage? In the ancient world, and still in today, some cultures, the evil eye is that glance that is thought to cause harm to the recipients. And that's kind of how I envision the eyes of the temple authority as they plotted Jesus' death in the passion reading we just heard. They were filled with hatred as they watched Jesus being greeted with the praises in Jerusalem during Holy Week. And the truth is, for nearly 3 years, they heard him speak woes and reproaches to them. If they could have shot arrows from their eyes, they would have. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites, Jesus would say. It sure wouldn't win him any friends, but it was what they needed to hear. Understand, however, that these words, though no doubt angry, were not said out of hate. They were said out of love. They were said the way parents discipline a child, out of love. God never speaks the law in malice, but only because we need to recognize our sin and know where and why we need to repent. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part in the shedding of the blood of prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." He follows this by saying, "Carry out then the legacy of your fathers." Jesus wanted them to recognize their blatant hypocrisy so that they would repent. So he says, "Carry out then the legacy of your fathers." He's trying to bring them face to face with the murder they had planned in their hearts under their pious pretense of honoring the prophets whom their fathers murdered before them. Jesus challenges them to push things forward to their logical conclusion. He's basically telling them, "I know what's in your hearts. I can see the murder in your eyes. Go ahead, do it. Walk in the steps of your fathers. Why don't you go ahead and kill me too? Continue your family legacy." In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer there says often, "There is nothing new under the sun." Murderous thoughts and hateful looks are truthfully nearly as old as the fall into sin itself, starting with Cain's downcast look that became murderous eyes toward his own brother. The cause of murder is always the work of man, but the original source is Satan, who Jesus says was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus, when addressing the Jews who wanted to kill him, identifies Satan as the father of all who hate God's son. It was the Apostle John that said Cain was of the evil one. But what does that have to do with us? I mean, that was Cain thousands and thousands of years ago. These temple authority, it was a couple thousand years ago. What does that have to do with us? We've got our own problems to deal with right now. Let me tell you, the whole world's dealing with a virus. What does this have to do with us? I mean, aren't Jesus and John just Really wailing on Cain and the murderous temple authority? Jesus isn't talking about us, right? Then again, the Apostle John writes, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And in the very next chapter of that book, he writes, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Follow John's logic there. It means, what he's saying is, if I claim to love God while hating my brother, I am both a murderer and a liar, just like Satan. And that means, that even though I say I love God, I cannot love God. And if I do not love God, I must hate him. There is no gray area here. You either love him or you hate him. Those are the only two places you can stand. So it looks like maybe Cain and that temple authority don't stand so alone. This is why we confess our sins to Jesus. In the hymn we sang these words, I caused your grief and sighing by evils multiplying, as countless as the sands, I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered, your sorrow raised by wicked hands. Don't lie to yourself. You know you have. You know you better than I do. You said it in your heart. I have good reasons for hating this person. I can make excuses for wishing what I wish. I have good cause for casting an evil eye on my neighbor. Yeah. Justified as you think you might be, that's enough to make you a murderer in God's sight and to place you under his wrath. The temple authority continue their family tradition in tonight's Passion reading. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can see ourselves standing right there, right along with them. We are God's enemies. What a marvel it is then that our Heavenly Father would allow his Son to be murdered at the hands of sinful men just to save a bunch of rotten, rebellious sinners with eyes filled with hate. What a marvel it is that Scripture would tell us God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, so much more shall we be saved by him from God's wrath. The wrath of God is not a murderous glance from the Father, but a look of righteous judgment on the stain of sin. Nobody is free of that. We all deserve God's wrath, but instead of giving us what we deserve, God put it on Jesus. And Jesus eagerly and willingly took it to save us. From the cross, Jesus looked at the masses of humanity. He wasn't just looking down at the people who were physically there. Jesus is there for a much bigger reason. See the bigger picture. From the cross, Jesus is looking down on all of humanity, from Adam to the end, on all of humanity. When he said, Father, forgive them, he wasn't talking about the Romans. He wasn't talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wasn't talking about the disciples who abandoned him. He was talking about you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin produces lies and hatred, murder, and every other sin. And sin is so deep a stain that we don't even recognize the depravity of what we think and say and do until God's word acts like that mirror reflecting ourselves back to us, and our sin and our stain is revealed to us by God's holy word. But once our murderous eyes have looked in horror on what we've really done, including nailing the innocent Son of God to the cross with the nails of our sins, then we are ready to repent. Then we are ready for the joyful good news of forgiveness for all of our sins because of Jesus' voluntary sacrifice at the hands of murderers. The death he died killed death and extinguished the wrath of God toward us. The Bible gives us a wonderful message. It says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Not only so, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Rejoice in Christ, who has turned your murderous eyes away from the sin and the guilt and the despair, and has let you lift up your eyes to look on him as your Savior.